Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Jeff Cesario's going to come in. He's going to do Chet Waterhouse, which is always excellent. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game coming as well. We got the news all coming your way. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. After last year, we all deserve summer fun, but be on the lookout for travel scams by cyber criminals to steal your identity. Identity verifying travel deals. Always independently verify travel deals with the company you're making the plans with. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. Instant cyber criminals, by the way, it's your stuff's out there in a second. Cyber criminals. Do you need to hear more about cyber criminals these days? They're trying to steal everything. They're shutting down pipelines and poultry farms. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
It's hard to be cool stuff and blues. Adam's monthly nut. Adam's monthly nut.
You heard Dick. A new nut has arrived. July's nut has for you two ACS koozies to keep that thin can of seltzer cold in the ball-melting summer heat. Brother Artisan's CBD oil to keep you chill in the ball-melting summer heat. The Hangover Secret. A hangover cure to make sure that after a night of heavy drinking, you don't die the next day in the ball-melting summer heat. And, of course, a bottle of your choosing. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to sign up for 1 month or to keep the shipments coming. Prep your mail's box for Adam's Monthly Nut.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
If you said The Shawshank Redemption.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Well, Jeff Cesario has joined us. We'll do Chet Waterhouse and a couple of few. We always look forward to that. Stand-up album, What Was I Thinking? Is available now on Pandora, Spotify, and anywhere you get your music from as well. And, of course, Play With Pain with Chet Waterhouse, available on Apple Podcasts. Jeff, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm nursing a little cold, and doctors say with this voice, I can slam COVID right through a solid wall. So I don't want to give anybody chance at illness. So I'm staying home today.
Are you doing any shows? Are you doing the road at all? Are you working on projects, TV shows, punching
up scripts?
I'm going to
do the road. I've got Minneapolis set up for October. And then maybe something in November I'm working on for either Milwaukee or Appleton in either November or December. We'll see.
Because that's when you want to go to Milwaukee and Appleton.
You know.
Chilly.
Bring back those fond memories of falling through ice into the lake and being tortured on a toboggan slide that had cement underneath the snow. Lots of fond memories. And then I have a spec script, animated comedy that I'm putting the final touches on, and we're going to go out and see if we can't get someone to buy it.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right, you ready to play the Rotten Tomatoes game?
Absolutely. I'm so psyched up to play this because I never remember the rules. Let's go.
names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Wow.
It's uncanny.
The Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
We're looking at a picture of the caller Corey and
side by side.
Our own Mike Dawson, and
it's crazy.
It's uncanny how much they look alike. Now, Papa? I will say this: if you guys ever get into a threesome with one gal, I'm going to downgrade it to a 2.5 because you guys are doppelgangers. That is essentially like being with one man. Wow, this is awesome.
I'm going to guess Corey runs a church now.
He does have a little of that cult leader to him. All right. So, Cesaro, I guess, Max Pad, we must ask this of all the of all the guests on the show now. What would you rather have? Would you rather have sex? Forget about you're married and all this. This is hypothetical. You're 25. You're free and single.
Just off of Carson?
Yes.
Just off of Carson.
Would you rather have sex with 1 8 out of 10, so a beautiful woman, or a threesome with two gals, but the combined score could be no higher than 10? So you could have 2 5s in you, or, you know, a 6 and a 4 in you, or the 1 8.
1 8.
You'll go with the 1 8.
Yeah, unlike Jimmy, I'm not that fond of smells.
So
the more people
Jimmy,
in the room,
right,
the higher the aroma quotient.
Interesting.
Low musk tolerance.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll mark you down for that. All right, Dawson.
All right. Danny Trejo was recently back on the podcast, and as usual, he knocked it out of the park. Pretty much every time he talks, it brings a smile to my face, which is strange considering how terrifying he is on screen. While he was in and out of prison throughout the 1960s, his name is now credited on over 400 film and TV projects. 400. Let's talk about 5 of them in this week's Rotten Tomatoes game. First up, we've got an all-star cast in this action thriller about a prisoner transport flight that's taken over by the world's nastiest criminals. Thankfully, Army Ranger Cameron Poe is on board, and he secretly works with the U.S. Marshal to bring the plane down. Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich, Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames, Dave Chappelle, and Danny Trejo star in 1997's Con Air.
That's a hell of a cast.
Oh, yeah, man.
Some A-listers.
I've watched a shit out of this movie so many times.
I hate when the names are not right over the people on the poster. Fuck,
very confusing.
Right. So many good scenes. People forget young Dave Chappelle in this movie.
Steve Buscemi, did he get mentioned? There's a lot of big names in this.
Yeah, a lot of big names, lots of action, lots of fun.
Chappelle falls on a car.
Right.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. They have every trope in the world. You know, there's Kuzak's the cool FBI agent, then there's the super dick FBI agent, and of course he pulls up in his Corvette, his vintage Corvette. He's like, don't even look at it. Right. It's my baby. Don't even come near that car.
I wonder what's going to happen to that car.
Yeah, anytime you walk past your car, stop and then buff out the fender with your sleeve. Believe me, a safe is going to fall from an airplane and crush it moments later. Never do that move where you buff out your fender with your own sleeve.
That was a narrow sliver of time when you could indicate a dick, a rich dick usually, by having them go beep, beep on their car. Like,
right.
That was like 85 to 91, and now it's just everywhere.
Right. Oh, yeah, boy. The whole beginning of the movie is awesome. He comes back to the bar that his beautiful wife is bartending at or waitressing at.
Who,
she's
Nicolas
pregnant.
Cage
is he's a decorated Army Ranger. They always have that stupid the greatest guys tropes from the 80s and the 90s were the townie guys. You know what I mean? So like
the locals.
He comes back. He's wearing his full uniform. Mm-hmm. He's an Army Ranger. He's fully decorated. And they're like, what are you doing here, Gomer Pyle? and they're like hitting on his woman the whole time, and they're antagonizing the guy. The guy obviously knows how to fight. He's an Army Ranger, but they're
Just hit him with a thank you for your service.
All they do is fuck with him the whole time. And then, of course, they're waiting for him out in the parking lot during the rainstorm when he's walking out in the car, and they pull the switchblade on him. Like, I don't know. I don't even know where it came from, but they decided to tag him. Then, of course, the judge going guilty because he defended himself. You gotta see this.
Should have known better. Basically, the judge's explanation.
It's the kind of movie you don't mind that there's 12 writers on it,
right?
Because it's so paint by numbers. You go, hey, we'll get some variety on how people interpret these scenes. You write the bar scene where they're hitting on his chick. You write the judge scene. You know, you don't mind it. It all tacks together somehow.
And also Cage, I mean, his character must have had the worst representation ever. Because basically, here's why he goes to prison for 8 years.
Pretty open and shut case.
He comes to the bar where his pregnant wife is working. They want to have a dance. Mm. The townies get in the face. They like throw a drink on him. Yeah.
There's 25 witnesses.
They antagonize him and everything. And by the way, these guys have to have a rap sheet as long as the Magna Carta, right?
Yeah.
Then at night, he goes out to the parking lot to get in his car, and they're all waiting for him with knives. After one of them lunges at him, he does the slow motion palm at the bridge of the nose, you know, where the guy goes down and they Dutch the camera, you know, and like he's dead. And then it's smash cut to the courtroom like, Mr. Poe,
with your training
and military expertise, you are a weapon. 8 years in prison. Like, first off, this guy's a hero. He was attacked in a parking lot.
That judge would be recalled.
Again, dozens of witnesses.
That's right.
Okay. But,
well, the first thing you do on a movie like that is you fire the kid who's supposed to fact check anything in the script.
Right.
So that's out. So now you can get away with stuff like this.
Makes complete sense.
All right. Lots of fun. No way the critics liked it, but they should. It definitely delivered.
Do you want Jeff to go first?
Had some... Had some laughs in it as well. Trejo was kind of fun doing a lot of raping. I'm gonna write my number down.
Oh, I have to write my number.
You don't, because you're gonna go first.
We'll take it from you. How say you?
I say I agree. The critics probably hated it, but it may have snuck through a little bit. With the tip of the cap, wink and a nudge from some critics knowing what it was, I'll go 53.
Mm.
This is not a bad movie by any stretch. It's not great, but the scene with Buscemi in the pool.
Empty pool.
Fantastic scene. There's some good stuff in here. It's funny. It's tongue-in-cheek and knows what it is. Like Jeff said, I went 61.
Whoa, just barely fresh. Mm. I've never seen it. I've meant to, and I'll get around to it. It can't be fresh. I'm saying 48.
I went one above Jeff. I went 54. I agree. Fun movie. Great watchable movie. Critics are snobs. That's why I gave it rotten.
Con Air is rotten.
Oh, come on.
At 56%.
Wow. Mm.
Take it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that 1997 was a banner year for cinema. Not only Con Air, but also this classic creature feature about the hunt for a giant legendary snake. The film's all-star cast includes Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, John Voight, Eric Stoltz, Owen Wilson, and in the opening scene, Danny Trejo. From 1997, Anaconda.
Oh, John Voight doing his like Cuban accent.
Brazilian,
or Brazilian, whatever. It's really good.
It's
really good.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Probably one of the reasons him and Angelina Jolie don't speak anymore.
Well, because of this disaster?
I said one of the reasons. I'd say the reason. All right.
Wow.
The log line is, when you can't breathe, you can't scream. All right, that's kind of fun.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Probably saw this movie...
10 or 12 times?
Yeah. Nah, it is what it is. It's kind of fun.
Do they show the anaconda?
Yeah, I think they get it.
Oh, yeah, the anaconda gets off screen.
Did you say 96? Was that?
97.
All right, let's see. Can't be fresh, but how low do we go?
Well, I'll get out of the way if that's okay.
Sure.
I'll go 39.
Hold on. Oh, okay.
Mm,
hold on.
Interesting.
All right. 39?
Yeah, it's a poor man's Con Air.
Mm-hmm. All right. Zero might be on the table here, Brian.
Yeah, I always get this in Lake Placid confused with the giant alligator over the fuck that was. One was like campy and fun, and one was just stupid. I think this is the stupid one, so I went with 22.
Mm.
I went with 19.
I, too, went with 39.
Anaconda is rotten at 37.
All right.
Scratched out my 32.
Good.
God damn it.
Our next film is about a coming-of-age comedy.
Weird that... Now, this is weird because Anaconda's got 37% with the critics, 24% with the people. Movies like this...
Usually,
yeah. Wow.
Other way around.
Maybe it was the J-Lo tough chick part they liked, maybe. I don't know, because you normally don't see them go this direction.
Mm-hmm. Our next film is a coming-of-age comedy about a young man born without an immune system who sets out on a cross-country journey to stop the wedding of his newfound love. Inspired by a 1976 TV movie starring John Travolta,
Jake
Gyllenhaal steps into the plastic bubble suit and meets up with Danny Trejo along the way. From 2001, Bubble Boy.
Feels like Jeff would have written this.
Was this like a Farrelly Brothers type movie, or was this supposed to be taken seriously?
No, I think it was fairly serious.
Fairly serious. But was it a joke or was it not a joke?
I have no idea. I've never seen this.
I don't.
Because the Travolta one was not a joke.
No.
Yeah, I don't think this was a joke.
I mean, look at
the serious movie. No. And then the woman who played his mom in the movie became his, you know, concubine.
Really?
Yeah. I do believe that Travolta's. The woman
Travolta.
Woman who played Travolta's mom was his longtime girlfriend who like died of like breast cancer or something.
That's not...
It's funny the Bubble Boy is played by actors with questionable sexuality.
Is that the Gyllenhaal thing?
Allegedly, I have no firsthand knowledge.
Wow.
All right.
Well, then it's definitely a drama.
Now.
Well, look at his like wacky hair and like the way he dressed. I think this is played for laughs.
Oh, well, that's why I thought it was like a Farrelly Brothers thing.
It is. I don't know who did it, but it is a Farrelly Brothers type thing that it sounds preposterous, but it could be a this could easily be 72 just because I thought
it
was funny
heart?
And has heart or something like that. It's a goofy movie, but it may have some laughs in it. Who the hell knows on this one? All right, you guys locked in?
Yeah.
All right. Cesario?
I will go at 59.
Mm. Yeah, right. Drawn blind.
And that's
here.
Pushing it. I think it's lower than that, but I'll take a shot.
I went lower than that at 44.
I wrote down 59.
You did 49.
Bubble Boy is rotten. At 31%.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
As Brian would say, nobody's ever told me you've got to see Bubble Boy.
Exactly. I host a goddamn movie podcast. No one's like, Bubble Boy, you ever seen it?
Danny Trejo takes the lead in this throwback exploitation film, originally conceived as a fake movie trailer during 2007's Grindhouse. In the feature film, the ultra-violence is as batshit crazy as the supporting cast, which includes Robert De Niro, Steven Seagal, and Lindsay Lohan. The film is written, produced, and directed by Robert Rodriguez, who happens to be second cousins with Danny Trejo.
Wow.
And has cast him in many of his films. From 2010, Machete.
Machete.
Where are you with Robert Rodriguez, Brian?
You like stylized stuff?
Very hit and miss, but the stuff I like a lot. Like, I like Sin City. I really like From Dusk Till Dawn. Like, some of his stuff slaps. Some of it misses. Like, I didn't like Grindhouse at all, or whatever his version of that was. Planet Terror.
I'm trying to think, are the critics going to like this kind of thing? Just because the Hispanic thing, and it's campy, and Robert Rodriguez is kind of a cool character.
Yeah, you got like anybody who puts an edit bay in a trailer and just like parks it 30 miles west of Austin and says, I'm going to plant my flag here. And that's great. So I think the critics are all over this.
Yeah, this checks a lot of nerd boxes.
It seems very cool.
He's kind of, Rodriguez is kind of in between Tarantino and Oliver Stone, right?
Meaning what?
They're just weird dudes who sort of seem like they got their own affectations, and they make interesting stuff, but it can go sideways really easy. But they seem almost sort of half caught up in their image.
That, and they're making a lot of movies with winks and nods to other movies and things that came before, and Trejo's personality, I'm sure, played a lot into this. So, you know, film nerds love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got mine.
All right.
I got mine.
I don't think it's good, but I don't know. But I'm worried that the critics liked it, even if maybe the people didn't. What do you say, Cesario?
77.
I went even higher. I think this is catnip for critics, 83.
Whoa.
I went Barely Fresh at 66.
71.
Ooh, Machete. Certified Fresh.
Shit.
At 72.
Oh! That was heart-stopping.
And finally, the film that everyone was asking for. A live-action adaptation of Adam's favorite kids cartoon,
Jake.
Dora the Explorer.
Jake Gyllenhaal's dating a hot French model since 2018. Is the model a dude?
No.
Very pretty girl.
All right. Well, there you go.
This 2019 film features Nickelodeon starlet Isabella Merced, who learns to navigate high school and rescues her parents from an ancient Incan civilization. And wouldn't you know it, Danny Trejo cashed a paycheck as well, voicing her CGI monkey companion, Boots, from 2019. Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
It was only a couple years ago.
Wow.
The TV show is such a vacuum of creativity and such a shit fucking box. It's a kitty litter box filled with the worst cat shit you've ever smelled in your life. It's so horrible. It has
a lot of hobo power.
I used to watch it with my kids. There was the fox. The fox stole things.
The swiper, like, no
swiper,
swiping.
Stop swiping. Yeah. And then they had the monkey sidekick, Boots, just like Spridel had Chim Chim on Speed Racer fucking 20 years earlier. Ugh.
And when you got a face like Danny Trejo's, and then you decide, we'll just use his voice. I mean, I know he has a distinctive voice, but you're losing half the appeal of hiring Danny Trejo. So I'm not sure about the judgment of the filmmakers. It reminds me of when Sam Kinison finally got a sitcom, and he played a guy who was like 4 inches tall. So they took the one guy on Earth who was larger than life. That's television for you. And made him a 5-inch tall character.
I don't remember that.
That was his sitcom.
Was it did it
I think they just
made?
Shot a pilot.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would
done some
that.
Episodes, yeah. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you remember what it was called or anything about it?
I don't remember the name, but that level of misuse of talent of the level of Danny Trejo, I think I'm leaning rotten.
Hold on. All right, hold on. Again, you score some intersexual points here because it's a strong Latin woman who's the hero, the lead, and the critics like this stuff. But I hated this, and maybe
it's a close game.
Maybe we were over it. I think it's a close game. I feel like I need to nail this number, otherwise that's my only chance for salvation here. So I'm locked in. What do you got, Cesario?
56.
Whoa.
I went 43.
Huh. Fresh at 65.
Whoa, 41.
Dora and the Lost City of Gold is certified fresh at 85%.
Oh. Shut up. That's not true.
They fell over themselves.
I should have gone higher.
Correct.
Beefed it.
Yeah, I should have listened to myself.
Should have sniffed that
Nothing
out.
About this says certified fresh.
No, it's just like, it's a young girl, she's Hispanic, and she's in charge.
Is that the tagline?
Had to be the points there. Had to be.
Ugh. Wow, I did not see that coming.
I just lost on that one.
I think I was in the lead till then.
Gina Grad.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you made it to the podium.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla coming in at a score of 96.
Fresh.
Well done.
Yeah, squarely into two digits.
Good score. Paul Bryan, your score, which considerably took a jump at the end, but wasn't enough, coming in at 64.
I like that.
But I must tell you that for the first time in a while, we have a tie. Gina Grad and Jeff Cesario.
Second place.
You are tied. Bald Brian once again with 64. Gina and Jeff coming in at 67. Oh! Tied for second place. Wow. The win to the bald one.
Great game, you guys. Great game.
Wow.
Man, pulled it out at the end with Dora there.
That sucks.
All right.
Wait,
before we move on, can I please just say one of Danny Trejo's greatest roles, because I'm rewatching it again for, I think we're on number 14, is Breaking Bad when he's Tortuga and he's like one of the moles and he only gives the police advice in exchange for goods from Sharper Image. Like that's what he wants. Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right. Should we do a little Chet Waterhouse?
I'm ready.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Now, brother, as the great Gina Grad has said, how many facials are too many facials? Time for the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Sliver City, the lumber yard that's in a hurry. Euro Cup 2020, that's soccer, Bubba. Italy beats England on penalty kicks. At that point, why don't you just cut cards? A Wembley Stadium crowd hasn't been that embarrassed since Madonna sang without a track at Live Aid. Ouch. Italian goalkeeper Gianluigi Donnarumma blocked one of the penalty kicks by just glaring at it. Italian coach Roberto Mancini used hand gestures that even the mafia said, that's going a little too far, buddy. And losing coach Gareth Southgate hustled out of the Westgate for safety. That wrap-up sponsored by Trans Am. If you're going trans, at least buy American parts. NBA playoffs. Aging Phoenix star Chris Paul, late for game 3. He was filling out a reverse mortgage application. Bucks get back Giannis Antetokounmpo. So finally, ABC and ESPN can rehook up that lucrative Greek feed. That item sponsored by Jehovah's Witness Protection. Disappear into the warm grip of the Lord with Jehovah's Witness Protection. Olympics! U.S. team will jet over to Japan in a week, except for Simone Biles, who will vault over America's pastime. No, not trying to find a way to make hibiscus tea palatable. Baseball! All-Star break! Home Run Derby, they were belting them hard. Did someone say belting them hard? Asked Trevor Bauer. And finally, this week in sports history, the date 1979, the place Chicago, Illinois, between games of a doubleheader at Comiskey Park. Fans go wild, exploding disco records and creating such a war zone. The White Sox have to forfeit the second game to Detroit. Said Tiger skipper Sparky Anderson, we play in Detroit. That's a war zone every night, you pansies. This Waterhouse Update sponsored by Mount Baldy's. Horse saddles tailored just for bald men. It's a bigger niche than you'd think. If you want more of me this weekend, I'll be calling Dana White's new cage match croquet. Brings a whole new meaning to the phrase sending your balls. Sponsored by UDrive, the app that lets you rent your own car to take you wherever you want to go. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Oh, that's funny.
So good.
So good.
Thank you.
All good. Splinters, Lumber Yarn, Jehovah's Witness Protection.
Oh,
so much good there, Cesario.
Thank you. Thanks for letting
right.
me do
You've
it.
You've earned a plug, by the way. Play with Pain with Chet Waterhouse. That's available on Apple Podcasts as well. Jeff, you want to hang out with us and do the news?
Sure.
All right.
We'll love the news.
Take a quick break. Come back and do the news with Chet and Gina and Bald right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this is big news because the Emmys have a host, and a lot of things have been going hostless lately. So we'll see. Hopefully, they don't dig up anything
chick,
on this one.
Foreigner, black guy. Who do we got here?
Cedric the Entertainer.
Well, there you go.
CBS and the TV Academy have announced that he will make his Emmys hosting debut in September as the show returns to a live in-person format with a, quote, limited audience of nominees and their guests. They'll be present. Cedric stars and executive produced the CBS comedy The Neighborhood. The event will take place at Microsoft Theater in L.A. on September 19th. Nominations, as you hear this, should have just been announced, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. And, you know, this is a... I don't want to jinx him, but you think squeaky clean, Cedric the Entertainer. You think he'll get canceled beforehand?
No, I don't think so. I think they got to vet all this stuff before you announce it.
But don't they all always try to do that? And then something's unearthed?
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit protected, but no.
How's he protected?
I'm sure they try. Well, they would probably... cut the brothers a little wider.
Kevin Hart?
Yeah, that's one. But in general, and I don't, you get a little bit of shield depending on, you know, gay, straight, white, black, whatever. You get a little bit of coverage.
So your bet is he will go the distance to the night of the Emmys?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And they must have vetted it. The ESPYs were the other night. Is it just me or did the ESPYs kind of used to be a thing, and now they're not a thing? They just kind of came and went? Or
ESPYs got huge for a while. I wrote on them ages ago, but right on the ESPYs, in which they decided to start emphasizing comedy in their promos, and I think it came out of that ESPYs. We used a bunch of the announcers in funny ways, taking a chance we didn't know. And they loved it. And then they really kind of blew up humor. And all of those ESPN promos are now comedy promos. I think they took that and ran with it. And then it was like a huge deal up until like 2 years ago. And now it's kind of off the charts. I don't know what happened to it.
I don't know. I always assume some of these things get so woke that they lose the sort of populist thing, kind of like the Oscars and some of the other award shows, but I don't know. I don't know what their ratings are. They used to be on my radar.
I wonder if ESPN stopped putting money into it or put less money into it.
I don't know.
Because I had no idea it was even yesterday or what this weekend or whatever.
Right. Well, maybe Max Spaff can check ESPY ratings.
Yeah, they're down 26%.
Wow.
Sonny was...
Well, who hosted? That was also one of those where for a stretch, they had big name comics hosting that show, big name entertainment people. I mean, the year I did it, Bill Murray hosted.
Hosted by like some TikTokers or something. It seemed weird. Wow. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there.
Maybe they saw the writing on the wall and realized that ratings are down for all award shows across the board, everything. And we're like, I see where this is going. We're not going to get a lot out of this.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
The analytics are in.
Well, more problems with unruly passengers, and this is no longer a novelty news story. I mean, these complaints have gone up millionfold in the past couple of years.
Anthony Mackie host, but I don't know who's Anthony Mackie is.
He's the fucking Falcon
superhero,
Winter Soldier and the Falcon. You recognize him? Okay. He's an actor, black guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
An apparently unhinged woman had to be duct taped to an airplane seat last week after she allegedly attacked the flight crew, bit one of them, tried to open the door during the flight. There's kind of a blurry picture of how they had to handle this. Rough stuff. Con Air, it is time.
Put the cage in there. Yeah.
Because they really don't have many resources. They had to duct tape her to the seat. A picture on social media showed this gray-haired woman with silver duct tape all over her, on her mouth, her arms, her body, seemingly strapped to the seat.
Is her hair gray or green?
Gray. I think that was just a weird image. Mm-hmm. It was a two-hour flight on July 6th from Dallas to Charlotte.
Two-hour flight she couldn't make?
No. And it was delayed for 3 hours, as every flight is lately. It apparently went off at midnight, but an hour into it, she just lost it. There's a girl on TikTok, goes by LOL Ari, and she...
Oh, she hosted the ESPYs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. She, just some girl that went on TikTok and was on the flight and tells the story, so might as well let her tell it.
We start to gradually hear more and more screaming, and we're like, wait a minute, someone's screaming. Like, we couldn't hear it before because the plane's just kind of loud, like all the noises it makes, so like you couldn't really hear the screaming. And we're like, wait a minute, somebody's screaming up there, like what the hell's going on? So we pretty much didn't know anything until we were about to land, and the flight attendant sat down near us, and someone asked her, like, hey, can you please tell us what's going on? Everyone's kind of scared, please, like, we just need some explanation. So then she started explaining that there was a passenger in the first class section that they believed had autism or schizophrenia, and she just like had an outburst and like had the urge to like get off the plane, and she was like, I need to get off this plane now, but like she was just like screaming, frantic. She went up to like the exits and she was banging on them saying like, you need to let me off this plane, you need to let me off this plane, and like obviously they can't let her off the plane, so they were like, ma'am, like we need you to calm down. She wouldn't calm down, and I guess it took all five flight attendants to like subdue her and like literally take her down. So yeah, they pretty much took her down, put her in the seat and duct tape her, which just did not really sit right with me, but they did what they had to do, I guess.
That's, and
I'm sorry,
that's
TikToker.
Yeah, that's, didn't sit right with her.
But it shouldn't. That's the only recourse these flight attendants have that are basically just there to make sure people get their drinks.
Gina,
and they,
you know, in the defense of the flight attendants, they left her reading glasses so she could enjoy the in-flight
magazine. That's true.
Magazine.
But I am saying in defense of the flight attendants, they had to find duct tape and just think on their feet, like in that moment. Like, shouldn't we be providing them with more assistance and options than finding duct tape?
Two possible solutions. Yeah. Dart gun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or one of those trap doors that just leads to a little dark room that's just built on the side of the plane.
Right, for
so
the baggage.
You let them open a quote-unquote exit, and they just walk in a room, you shut the door and lock in there for the rest of the flight.
I like your Daffy Duck approach.
Well, if you watch Con Air, you'll realize there's a hold under the plane where he dukes it out with some buff dude with a over his rabbit. But okay.
But aren't we going to have to start offering the flight attendant more resources?
Well, a couple things. I don't like the concept of duct tape on a plane. Duct tape is when, you know, your stepdad's 72 Chevelle wing window blows out and you got to kind of patch it up. Yeah, right. It's not for aircraft repair.
Keep
so
the wing
I don't
on.
Know what you're doing with that duct tape in there. Number two, I've been saying this for a long time. They need to put the cage in the back.
Absolutely.
But how about this concept? Because there's so many crazy, unruly passengers. How about, you've already reinforced the cockpit door. How about you reinforce the bathroom door in the back of the plane? And that will be the drunk holding cell. That's where we'll put you. You go in there, reinforce, shut. You can use the bathroom if you want. We'll just put that 2x4 in front of it.
Yeah,
and that's where you shall reside for the rest of the flight.
What was it called in the 80s? The bar?
Oh, yeah, the club.
The club. Yeah, we'll put the club in front of the door.
Over that, the people used to put on their steering wheel. Yeah, we'll just reinforce the bathroom door. People, obviously, it's emergency. They'll have to use the first class head, and we'll put you in the back of the plane where the bathroom is, and we'll just drop the 2x4
over. You know what's ironic about that? I think part of the story is something they did, and I don't know why this, I don't know if this is part of their emergency protocol. The flight attendants went around locking all the bathroom doors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they didn't want her in
why
there
are you punishing
doing
us?
What? I know. So I just think at this point, we need. You're right. We need a cage. We need to give these poor flight attendants some more resources.
Duct tape part of the ceiling.
Isn't there some low-grade roofie that they could...
Yeah,
I hardly
agree.
Ever travel without it. I'm happy to share.
Sure.
I don't like planes either.
I don't know if Chris is there.
But she sounded like she was having an episode,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Should
right.
there be some sort of doctor's note before you're allowed to get on a plane? I probably wouldn't pass. I don't like planes.
I don't know, but we're now going to have to put sort of zip tie restraints.
Yeah.
We're going to need the ones for your hands mm-hmm. on the plane, mm-hmm. and we're going to need a larger body one that could just slide around yeah. you and zip tie you to the seat.
Yeah, Dan Shea.
That's where we're. That's where we're at.
Absolutely.
All right.
So we need a mistress on every flight.
That's right. A dominatrix.
That's right.
So I was trying to think. I got a son and a daughter.
Okay.
I would hope that the boy becomes a police officer and the girl becomes a flight attendant. What's Those that? Are my wishes oh, for, wow. for the two. Can you imagine? Is there a worse job waiting in our society than either, you know, going to be a cop in Chicago or you're going to be a flight attendant on Frontier Airlines?
I mean, like, worse in terms of what you have to deal with?
Yeah.
That's just pretty bad these days.
Although yeah. I think given the choices, the two of them flipped would have a better outcome.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sonny hits the air and
yeah.
Natalia.
Yeah, Natalia takes yeah. no shit on the ground.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Speaking of which, coordinated crime sprees in San Francisco are forcing retailers to close stores and limit their hours as shoplifters regularly make off with hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise. What they do with it is they either resell it or they come back and return them for gift cards, according to Fox News.
Wow.
And brazen. Five Bay Area Target stores are now closing at 6 p.m. instead of 10 p.m. so they can manage all this stuff and secure their merchandise. You know why this is happening. Organized gangs have been stealing more items as California raised the threshold for a felony from $450 to $950 in stolen goods. So there's really not a lot cops can do about it. You keep walking out with $949 worth of goods and you're clear.
It's a bad sign. You guys are walking around with a calculator.
Can we just Scanner. Use San Francisco as our little Cuba to go, okay, the shit doesn't work. Yeah. It just doesn't work over there. Okay, communism. This just doesn't fucking work. People are driving cars from the 40s. They're strapping inner tubes to their ass and trying to float to Tampa Bay. Like, it doesn't work. All right. Anyone who thinks about running a city, San Francisco used to be really nice. Now it's a fucking shithole.
Yeah.
So whatever they've been doing, we should just do the opposite of everything San Francisco. Thank you for sacrificing yourself, San Francisco. The pharmacies, was it Rite Aids? Like 19 mm-hmm. of them closed down.
Yeah.
And then I like it when the politicians get sanctimonious. Like, hey, these are hard-hit communities. Like, oh, then fucking do something with your community.
Right. By all means, help them.
They're not closing at 6 because they hate people's money after 6:10. They're closing it because they've done a risk-reward. They've weighed out the options and decided, sadly, in this apocalyptic, this place where it's still light for another 2.5 hours, but we got to close our doors because this is out of control
it's
now.
Just, you know, I hate to you know, go the technology route, but, you know, we can put a chip in a cat and find him 17 states away. We should be able to figure out how to track a tube of deodorant.
But that's the thing. It doesn't matter because if it falls under that price of $950 collectively, it's a misdemeanor. It doesn't matter.
In the classic joke sense, let me finish. No, track them. And then I don't get $950. I don't get $450. I don't get $10.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sorry. I hate to say this again, too, but, you know, growing it up, they just ran out of the store and tackled you and beat the shit out of you. And then you got in trouble with your parents and the law.
Yeah.
And that was that. That pretty much took you out of shoplifting.
Yeah, I know. The note that when we started defining shoplifting by the number that you could resell or the retail price for the stuff, you're either shoplifting or you're not. If you're shoplifting, you should be prosecuted. This is what happens when you essentially try to fix a problem. Like, hey, there's too many people being arrested for shoplifting. Well, we need
Stop
to now change the definition. This is basically going, I've gained 40 pounds. Let me see your scale.
Yep.
Let me adjust it. I will fix it so that it doesn't look like you've gained that weight. You can't fix problems from that direction.
And the sickest and most stunning part to me, who lives in LA and is a renter still, you'd think, well, the city's turning to shit and it's ugly and it's unsafe, but at least you can get a house for nothing. Oh, no, San Francisco, LA, the prices have never been higher. It doesn't, yeah. I don't understand the logic. I do not get.
There was footage
yeah.
of just running into a, I don't know where it was in San Francisco. I don't know if it was like a Neiman Marcus or something like that. Roman just ran in just during the day and just grabbed everything and just ran out. Well, if you know you're not going to be chased.
No.
Like they basically, there's that thing of the guy riding his mountain bike right. in, loading up, mm-hmm. you know, whoever the guard is. Oh, it wasn't Neiman Marcus. The guards are told to stand down.
Yeah, he like, kind of tried to swipe at it, but it didn't fall.
Yeah, it's all my dogs in the airport theory, which is the second you go, well, you can what's travel harm, with your dog, man? But we're not really going to look at papers or, you know, if you have a legitimate medical problem. And that the next day, everyone just shows up right. their dog. That's how and humans work.
It was
sadly.
Funny because that particular story with the anchors talking about it, one of them's like, well, maybe it was stuff that he needed. And the woman goes, those are hair products.
Yeah. This is just everyone just running out of a Neiman Marcus after just
organized chaos.
Grabbing everything and just dragging.
No ability
stuff
to electronically and, lock doors and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Seems like there's you trap them on the inside.
Where was that? Where in which
that
Neiman
was in
Marcus?
San Francisco.
I mean, that would make sense.
Neiman Marcus?
Yes, yeah. San Francisco.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. That's cool.
That's cool.
Let's see. Well, just because, you know, we're on this tip, California and New York will require that masks be worn at schools when classrooms open in the fall, despite the guidance issued Friday from the CDC saying that vaccinated teachers and students don't need to wear face masks or coverings inside school buildings. This is the health officials in California said that Friday they're going to require it. They'll allow schools to open only if this is obeyed. Mm-hmm. And Mayor de Blasio in New York is doing the same thing.
So they're like, follow the science, except for obey us and our insane decrees. Yeah. They're starting to come out with studies that wearing a mask for a prolonged period of time for a kid is pretty bad for them.
Oh, yeah? Well,
if you make sense, you're cutting the oxygen and you're cutting down and creating more carbon dioxide. There's a couple studies out there. You can look for it, Max. But wearing a mask for a short period of time or something, but wearing a mask for a prolonged period of time. I mean, there's a... We're so fucking dumb. We had a chick who ran a 10... Oh, she ran like a 440 mm-hmm. or something, the mask on and just collapsed. Mm-hmm. Kids aren't supposed to be wearing a mask outside running track. Mm-hmm. It's fucking nuts. So the CDC... says, now if you've been vaccinated and the kids, you don't need it. And of course, LA Unified's like, well, yeah, you have to do it because we'll tell you what to do. I mean, it's good that the kids are being indoctrinated into this fucking camp where people just tell you to do crazy things. Maybe it's going to help. Yeah, maybe it's going to help. But why?
But aren't they just trying to avoid lawsuits on some level? Is it all of... you know, some evil overlord thing. Aren't these, you know, these are just people trying to go, oh, geez, somebody will sue us if we let them go without the masks and their kid gets sick. And then we're in Dutch.
Can't you blame it on the CDC?
I wish I felt that way, but the teachers, LA Unified Teachers Unions, is such a corrupt sack of shit. And no, I think they're fucking drunk on their own power. I really do. Why else? Because you couldn't do it nationwide and then just not here. And you just follow the CDC guidelines and you're covered for, legally.
Yeah.
But they just like they like their power. They like it. I mean, they wouldn't let kids go back to school when they could go back to school when it was safe. The fucking unions are horrible. They're fucking horrible.
What's to be gained by that?
That's what I'm trying
they
to
just
figure
like,
out.
They like their fucking power.
They're somehow more corrupt than other things.
No, they're other things are corrupt. They're more corrupt because they're there to help kids and they're fucking kids up and they don't want school choice. If we had school choice, then there would be some competition and they would have to up their game. They're just ironically corrupt because they're teachers. The mafia's corrupt. I'm sure the garbage man's union's corrupt. I'm sure everything's corrupt. They're just ironically corrupt because they're there to help kids.
The mafia stands by it.
Yeah, so they
right.
do.
We have the study.
<Mafia's> rules.
Max, Pat, do you have the mask study from Germany and Poland?
Yeah,
by the way,
so it's also published, but they took 45 kids between the ages of 6 and 17, and they all had them wear face masks. Within 3 minutes, the kids were inhaling CO2 up to over 6 times the acceptable limit for adults. So the younger the kids, the higher concentration of carbon dioxide.
The hell kind of face mask?
45 minutes?
Yeah. Well, it is Germany.
It's I don't think
that's
the old school.
That's epoxy to their cheeks.
I'm not saying it's going to give the kids brain damage or anything. It's just it's not good to wear a mask for kids. How could it be? And then it's also sort of fucking them up too with fucking rules. But then why is it just New York and California? Why? What? Why is it somehow safe to do in Texas and Florida or Wisconsin or wherever? Why just the fucking power drunk states and cities? Why? Why is it always? If you told me there's an unnecessary rule, where's it coming from? I just go, it's either New York or L.A. because they fucking love rules and they love power.
If they're just overcrowded.
That's what I was about to say. My only theory is if now they've lessened it from 6 feet to 3 feet, and that's, I guess, for schools or whatever, and overcrowded schools can't do the 3-foot thing, then this is the loophole. Because just saying they love power, I get it, but it's like it can't just be – they have to at least put a face on it.
Well, the teachers' unions are fucking corrupt and they're horrible. And they do like power. And so the whole COVID thing gave them an excuse to go, oh, not so fast. And then you went, go back to school. Go back and do your job. And they went, not so fast. Here's what we want. We gave them something to trade with us, and they like trading. So they went, not so fast. Every single thing we've said to the teachers' unions, they went, no, not doing that. Not so fast. It's safe. Eh. What do you think? You don't think that? Why didn't we go back to school then, Jeff?
Here's what I think. We're trying to sort our way through just a bullshit storm. Anytime this happens in American society throughout history, it takes a while to sort through the bullshit, whether it's another disease that happened 100 years ago, whether it's secondhand smoke, whether it's seatbelts, whatever it is that we have to eventually grudgingly from both sides realize that something needs to be done for the good of the larger society. There are people from all sides who are coming into this, and it just takes a while for the dust to settle. It's going to take us a while to steer COVID into Fluville, but we're closing in on it. I mean, I'm sure people were up in arms over the flu the first time it happened a gazillion years ago when people were dying and they were closing schools and whatever else. So it just takes us a while because we have people at such extremes that it takes the center a while to pull them together magnetically until everybody goes, that's COVID. You get your shot, you're done with it. Nobody even thinks about it. What's the latest dinosaur that's going to try to kill us? That's what I think is going on. And I would agree there is corruption on both sides. I think there's corruption everywhere in this, but there's corruption in society. There's always been corruption. Go back to Tammany Hall. It was ridiculous. So I just think this is par for the course, and we have to try to steer our way through it. Thank you and good night.
All right. I fucking hate the unions.
And that's Jeff's 2 cents.
They don't seem to give a shit. Now, this is California. I'm not talking about the rest of the country. L.A.
Because this isn't a problem in the rest of the country.
It doesn't appear to be a problem
not
anywhere
from this
else,
news story.
But here it does. Oh, I just say, whatever the fucking CDC says, we should just go off it. If we're just going off of, there's a sanctioning body, the CDC or WHO. If they say you need masks after you've been vaccinated, then you need masks. If they say it's not necessary, then there you go, teachers, unless you know more about this than they do. Because there seems like something you know that they don't know, and it only goes one direction, and the direction is either lock it down, stay home, or do what we tell you to do. That's what's going on. There's no other. It's clear as fucking shit to me. It's been going on for a long time. Do you think they're physically worried? They've been vaccinated.
Well, I think they started at a place of worry back before vaccinations when they just said, it sounds good going to school, but we can get infected.
Right. And until everyone is vaccinated, we can't go back.
Right.
Well, now everyone's vaccinated, so why do we have to wear the mask?
Yeah. Well, all right. So we're in the gray area. we're trying to get the pontoon boat over the rocky shoals, and it's going to take us another year because nobody knows who's steering. There's one scientist up front with one eye open, and we're trusting him. That's the best we have in American society. That's how we get through this shit.
Well, you could just look at the data and look at how it affects kids and look at the 1,000 other school boards that are open without masks. That's what I'm saying. Just well, use true. Them.
True, but at the same time, now they got this variant flaring up in weird areas of the country that seem to be rural areas. But where are they going to go for treatment? They're going to go to the cities.
But it does seem that the people who are being affected by that are people who are not vaccinated.
Right.
All right.
So how do we get that happening?
Well, Joe Biden said they could do a door-to-door vaccination, and then somebody got on TV and said, they're going to come door-to-door and take your guns and Bible. So yeah. There's just constantly, like, seesaw.
It is. And until the natural gravitational pull evens that seesaw out, that's when we'll be calm, and some other hellacious cicada invasion will come, and we'll be worried about that, and COVID will be the flu, and...
All right. Well, everyone can mask up, go back to school. If they let you go back to school, that'll be interesting, because if there's a flare up, the teachers don't want to go back to school. Well, that's basically what I'm saying.
I agree. That's my point. Right. Well, like early on, there was a reason why it all made sense. The teachers, maybe the union didn't want to go back to school and using that as a leveraging tool. But now that they can go back, these are the two largest school districts in the country. And it was pointed out, maybe in a lot of schools, we can't guarantee the distancing. So maybe that's where the mask mandate comes in these two districts only. Only
all right, well, then they should say that. Well, I think it's all political, because it's not a coincidence that it's the most progressive of the unions.
Well, the San Francisco school district could be doing it, then Seattle school district could be doing it.
They
I
should.
Think it's the two largest. That's the most logical explanation.
All right.
But yeah, then by all means, put that
well,
out there.
Well, I don't know. You can have a large district, but I don't know that in a small, but it's still 30 kids per classroom or 20 kids per classroom. Like, I don't know that just because we're large, that we have more people in a concentrated area. Mm-hmm. We just probably have more people in more schools spread out. I don't know what the average size classroom in Muncie, Indiana is versus Los Angeles, but there's probably a put X amount of people in it. I think they're fucking drunk with power. They don't want to give it up. They don't want to give it up. They've never said at any point in time, like, all right, we'll just do what the CDC says. Well, fine. We'll go back to work.
So they fought it every
ounce of the way.
They should learn a little from Jimmy the caller. and loosen up the regulations a little bit and maybe be more giving and polite.
My point is it's not up to them to set the regulations. They're not the fucking CDC. If the CDC says you're vaccinated, you can go back and you don't need a mask, those are the regulations. You don't get to make your own call just because you have a huge union and there's no alternatives but to use your product. That's what they're doing. That's my point. You guys are fucking lowlifes, whatever. You're not experts. Listen to fucking Fauci. Follow the science. And whatever they dictate, that's what you'll do.
It's very hard to argue with that.
That's the way I feel, but not Jeff Cesario. All right. A spirited debate. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
It's going to stink down there. Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Let me tell you, last but not least, about Edmunds. Oh, the car market's getting pretty competitive out there. Edmunds has been de-stressing the entire car shopping process for 50 years plus. They do reviews on cars that are, they get them and they don't have them given to them. They purchase the car and they drive them for a year and they go over every ounce of the car and they take copious notes and they will tell you what cars do what and when. Every year, Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles and conduct thousands of hours of testing on hundreds of new vehicles. And like I said, they're not in the back pocket of Detroit or Japan or Germany. They buy the cars, they drive the cars, and then they give you the information. So if you need a new car, you go to Edmunds, right, Dawson?
Shopping for a car can be overwhelming. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com. For cars, there's Edmunds.
All right, Raleigh, North Carolina, Good Nights Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday. We'll do a live pod there, and then I'll do stand-up there. Oh, you played there?
I played Charlie Goodnights, yeah.
Oh, sure. Nice. Kyle Dunnigan's going to join us up there on Saturday, so that's always great. You go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows, because I'm doing stand-up everywhere. Cesario, his very funny stand-up album, What Was I Thinking? It's available on Pandora, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your music. And go to his website, jeffcesario.com. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Jeff Cesario and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it! Mahalo.
All right, I'm not sucking anybody else's dick until somebody eats my pussy.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. You can follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Just get tickets at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.